T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, man. It's time for Mike and Squid's Grand Prix Podcast. Brought to you by Hey Man Blonde Ale. Shenanigans in every can. Now, with the F1 season underway, here's Mike and Squidbilly.
Hey, man. Time for another edition of Formula 101. It's our big racing podcast. Mike Bell along with Squidbilly, producer of Dukes and Bell. We got two races, two for the price of one, since we had back-to-back Formula 1 weekends. And I just got back from Austin, Texas, as you can tell by my voice. It was fun. Always a great time down there at the Circuit of the Americas. Valtteri Bottas wins the race, but Lewis Hamilton wins the championship. Number 6. We'll also look back at the Mexican Grand Prix. But, Bo, I got to be honest, when I got home and I watched the race on TV, it was a hell of a lot more exciting than it was to be there, because other than the start and the finish, the drivers were rarely in contact as far as first, second, third place. Most of the action was between fifth and seventh. I mean, and there was some great passing where I was sitting at turn 12, but what it looked like to you?
No, it had some moments. It was a lot like a lot of races. It had some moments. I loved the straightaway. Watching the straightaway was really cool, especially when cars would get in the DRS range in that straightaway, and you could just see how quickly they could get up on them. But, you know, it had its moments. I was watching the race because it was an off weekend for the Falcons, so I obviously watched the Florida-Georgia game out with some friends, and, you know, we did the redneck thing, had a bonfire, and drank a lot of beer,
yeah,
and
buddy.
Watched some beer bottles burn and that kind of stuff. And so I'm in and out of consciousness on Sunday, and I'm watching the race, and, you know, this kind of looks like what a lot of the races did early to middle of the year, where Mercedes is kind of dominating.
Right.
And Lewis is out front. And then all of a sudden, you know, here comes Valtteri. And I'm like, I say to myself, holy blank, he's going to catch him. I'm like, I can't switch now, because you know how this is, guys, and I know a lot of you do this if you're racing fans that are on other types of racing on Sundays, you know, NASCAR and drag racing. Football season, you watch football and you mix racing in.
Right.
But this was one that kind of, I was like, you know what? I don't really care about these NFL games that much. I really want to see if he can catch him. And he did.
Right. Lewis did pit earlier, so his tire wear on those white tires, which are the harder compound, which have longer life. And eventually, the pass was amazing as Bottas was coming up. Lewis, even though they're teammates, they had good, clean racing, but Lewis did bump Bottas into in the apex of turn 12 and maintained his lead for one more lap. And then Bottas got him, basically got the lead at the top of the front stretch, which is so cool, going up the hill. If you haven't seen a race at the Circuit of the Americas, it's very unique. You're going up the hill and you blast down. Where I was sitting, you can see almost a full third, actually two-thirds of the track. You just can't see the front stretch. Great crowds, record crowds for the 8th U.S. Grand Prix. It was a blast. And then Lewis, they have a special parking space all painted up for his 6th championship. I always say, if Lewis could have gotten a handle on that clutch a couple years ago, the year that Nico Rosberg, his teammate, won it, he'd already have 6, and this would be his 7th. It would tie him with Michael Schumacher. But that year, for some reason, with the work that they put into the new clutch system, Nico had a handle on it, and Lewis just struggled with some really bad starts that year.
Boy, 7's a magic number for winning championships in the big time auto racing. NASCAR's 7, Formula 1 at 7.
Yeah, it's Petty and Earnhardt in 7. It'll be Schumacher, and I cannot see a way Lewis doesn't squid win his 7th next year, barring Ferrari making some sort of miraculous leap. And don't forget Red Bull, and I should say, Red Bull with the Honda power. You know, I just don't know if I see them closing the gap where Max Verstappen could win a championship next season.
Well, I think it's between Mercedes. I think you're right. I think it's between Mercedes and Ferrari. But until Ferrari decides that they're going to go all in on one of their drivers, and to be honest with you, neither driver has shown any dominance, right? So you'll have Vettel doing his thing for a couple races, and then you have Leclerc doing his. I think Leclerc has been the more consistent of the two,
right,
and he's truly been kind of screwed over by failure and bad strategy.
And then
yeah.
Vettel not playing ball when the strategy was sort of preordained, him not going with the game plan. For those who aren't familiar, Vettel had a race streak where he was winning the qualifying race, and then he was actually winning the race. And Sebastian Vettel kind of got his balls back, if you will, in Singapore. And then it's like it just doesn't fit the eye test with Vettel. I was talking to a bunch of there were German fans. I had guys from Poland who were sitting behind me. We had folks from Holland. There were tons of Max Verstappen fans in Texas. But all the German fans who were rooting for Vettel all agreed he has lost his fastball. It's just not the same. He was just more comfortable in the Red Bull car. And everyone agrees he's not going to win a championship in Ferrari. And Leclerc will be that guy. Whatever the setup was in the car or him racing too hard on the curbs, he breaks the suspension. The back just gives up. The whole car basically falls apart as he's making his way through turn eight.
And on TV, they blamed it for him getting up on what I would call like the small curb, and that's what they blamed it on. But then you saw other drivers do the same thing, and it didn't do to their cars what it did to Seb's car. So there was actually, that was one of the things that I'm sure you heard when you went back and watched it, that they were kind of talking about, like, well, you know, why did it do it here and it's not doing it there? Even Leclerc. Right. Was running up on there.
And they were advising Leclerc to be careful in that complex of turns just to be safe. But again, Vettel, just, you know, mistakes which he didn't make or circumstances which he didn't get involved in now seem to befall him in almost, you know, every other race. So it goes Bottas with the win. Lewis Hamilton takes the championship in second. Now, again, if you didn't see the race, there was a late wreck. Magnussen, our guy from Haas, he goes out of turn 12 and just cooks the brakes. He loses his brakes, goes up into the gravel. Had he not done that, because there was a local yellow in 12, Verstappen probably catches Hamilton for second place.
Yeah, yeah, because that was the thing. That actually slowed down Verstappen, and it slowed down Bottas as well. I know that it sounds weird, but I was rooting for Verstappen to kind of catch him for a second.
You want to see some action.
Well, it's nothing against Lewis, but I just get tired of the dominance, and I think that's the thing. It's a thin line because as fans, we want to see greatness, right? We really want to see greatness, but then we get mad when we see too much greatness because we get tired because it's dominant. And I thought it was really funny in an ironic kind of way that Lewis is talking about winning his sixth title, and he's almost giving this, you know, you should feel bad for me because it was really, really tough to win my sixth title, and this was the toughest of my six titles.
Now, Squidbelly's crapping on the six-time world champion. Look,
I'm not crapping
now,
on
him. Now, he did say that the Nico – now, again, for what it's worth, he did say that, you know, the death – of a legend in racing did kind of affect him. So Niki Lauda is passing again. He was instrumental in the Mercedes team. And apparently Lewis said himself, he goes, I didn't know how it would hit me until after Nick, because apparently Niki would give him a no BS assessment of his drive or how he was handling his business. It was Lauda who told him after he lost to Nico Rosberg to, you know, refocus. You're spending too much time as a playboy. You know, focus on the work. You know, work with the team. And so there's a connection. So again, I get what you're saying. Oh, woe is me as I jet from private party to private party in my G5. Oh. But you know, but he did have to go to the Mexico race without his regular race engineer, a guy he's got a real comfort level with. He just talked about things. I get it. It does seem like an NBA player complaining about staying at the Ritz-Carlton.
It's not so much that part of it. It's kind of like I want to use a good example. It's kind of like if Steph Curry complaining when they got Durant the first year and be like, well, you know, it's tough going through the grind of NBA season and winning the title. Oh, is it? Because the deck is stacked, okay?
Right.
Other than Ferrari, no one has – look, Red Bull had one win, right? Whoop-de-freaking-do. They were – it's Tier 1, and there's only one team in Tier 1. Tier 2, there's only one team, really. I know that Red Bull's in there, but Ferrari was a lot better than Red Bull. For most of the season.
And they had the horsepower. After they had after the Europe stretch, they do like a 3-week break. And then Ferrari came back with a much better power package, if you will. But then whatever they did technically went out the window because Charles Leclerc, noticeably slower than the Mercedes. The Ferraris, it is kind of cool. This is my first race since I was in Barcelona. Barcelona, I was sitting kind of higher up. But at the Texas race, we were right on front row. So you could hear the different sounds. The Mercedes have a certain rumble. The Ferraris actually sound much smoother. The Hondas are kind of guttural. Sounding. It's kind of interesting to hear the different engine note as the cars come flying by. Speaking of the Hondas, great job. The driver of the race was Alexander Albon. Again, the English-born Thai driver goes from dead last because he had a pit. He was some debris and the car got jacked up. So he had a pit early and actually made a number of pit stops and finishes all the way up in the fifth spot. Everyone said, whether I was sitting, that was the drive of the race. Getting back to the race that we didn't get a chance to talk about, the Mexico Grand Prix. What? And by the way, is that a spectacle or what? In Mexico City, how cool does that look?
Oh, it's a great scene, but that's the thing that that's a one thing that we need here for a race in America, and that's what we've talked about with the Miami, the race down there that might.
They still got to get approval from the local county government, and there's a group of citizens who live in that neighborhood. I got to be honest, that neighborhood ain't no great shakes, but there's a bunch of folks that are complaining about the disturbance if the Formula One race goes there. They would race in the spring outside of Hard Rock Stadium, and the mock-ups, you can Google it. It looks amazing. But that's what you're looking for. In Mexico City, they go through an old baseball stadium, which they reconfigured for the race. They've just got all these really cool turn complexes. The stadium section, they don't actually do the victory celebration at the start-finish line. They do it in the next to last turn area where the crowd just goes bananas. It just looks great on TV.
And it's awesome to see those kind of scenes. That's the only thing that I hate. I don't love about the Austin race is there's no scenery. I mean, that's the thing is when the season really gets going and you see some of these scenes in Europe and Asia and stuff, and you're just, oh man, this is just so badass. And then you kind of go to Austin and it, you know, essentially, it looks like an outdoor, an outdoor track.
It's There's a track nothing. In the south side of in Texas Hill Country. Yeah. But they do have concerts, and when you're actually at the venue, the accessibility, getting in and out, they have like these convoys of buses that take you from downtown Austin. We took Uber there and the bus back. But they've got concerts, Pink played and Imagine Dragons, and they had Kool and the Gang after the concert. They got all this cool stuff going on.
They do a good job.
They do a nice job with it. I mean, it's certainly one of the Europeans' favorite race because Austin is just such a fantastic destination for food and live music.
Oh yeah,
you know, we've talked about it on Dukes of Bell.
It's a great town. It's a great town, and that's a great town. That's a great town for America to showcase America, because if they eventually make it to Miami, they're not necessarily showcasing America per se.
Well, it's the South Florida culture, the Latin connection. That's going to make it so cool for the South American fans to make the trip.
Well, yeah, and it's more, you know, there's parts of Miami, little Havana, that kind of stuff. But when you think of America, and you think of you hear Austin, Texas. Well, hell yeah, that's Austin. Yeah. You know, that's Austin freaking, that's America.
And by the way, when we were driving back in the bus, you know, when I watched King of the Hill, I didn't realize in Texas, hanging out in your garage was a thing. Guys have like finished garages with couches and beer taps. Yeah. We were rolling through like this residential area because there was big traffic on the interstate. And it was literally like King of the Hill, bunch of like five or six guys in the driveway in the garage, waving, watching the buses go by.
That's cool.
Just pounding beers. So the races, we said, no matter what the qualifying was very discombobulated on Saturday. But as we said, Lewis got it done. Same thing in Mexico. Lewis, not a great qualifying run by his standards. But, of course, Ferrari can't handle the heat. And if you didn't see that race, Sebastian Vettel takes second. They screw up the strategy again if you're Charles Leclerc. So, to me, Ferrari has got to steal somebody from another race team who actually gets the strategy. Because if you've got pole, you're supposed to win the race. You know, if you're first or second, you're supposed to win the race. One of your cars is supposed to, at the bare minimum, you know, both cars should be on the podium, but somebody should be winning. And that's not happening.
And they need to get a clear role. Like I could not agree more with you on that. And then they need to say, okay, this is who we're right. This is our one, and this is our two. And if we have a strategy, stick to it. And I've grown to really like Seb a lot through the year, because I think he's got some things that I like about him mentality wise and how he'll drive when he's on and when he's feeling it. But I mean, I think the future, we know who the future is, and I think they need to go ahead and make that shift now, because I think Leclerc has done a good job this year of showing that he's the better driver at this point in their careers.
Also, guys, in Mexico, great job by Max for stopping. He had to go make a pit stop early because of hitting some debris, fixed the wing, comes all the way back through the pack and finishes sixth. Albon, again, another fifth-place finish. So between Mexico and what we saw in America, I mean, Mercedes is showing you why they are the team. Matthew McConaughey was hanging out in the garage with those guys. It was pretty cool. Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on the pre-race. German fan behind me. After we have the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders and the F-18s in formation to come zooming over, a German fan behind us, no joke. I said it on Dukes and Bell. He goes, you got to love America. You got to love this. It's like unbelievable. So I'm like, yes, we're kind of like Walmart, economy size, Jack.
Wow. You sat in front of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I did. Well, that's my basic German accent for everybody. But the Dutch fans, all the pictures are up at Mike Bell ATL. I ran into a couple guys that I met in Spain. I ran into one guy who wears a Ferrari car on his head. I've seen this guy
now. I saw
that
picture. That's
cool. I've seen this guy in Montreal twice and now Texas twice. So he makes the trip.
He's the European version of the redneck at SEC Media Days that has the Alabama National Championship ring on his head.
Hey, one one more open wheel note. The Indy car season is over, but huge news came out day before yesterday. Roger Penske, the Penske organization, which is worth $32 billion. You know, you think of him as Roger Penske winning Indy 500 and NASCAR teams, but he's got the trucking concerns and real estate. They buy out the Indy 500. They buy out the Holman George family. So they bought Indy Racing and they bought the Brickyard, which is great. He said no major changes are planned. Roger's 82. He does have a plan for succession, which is interesting. But the idea
and
that
rare.
A guy who gets it owns this thing, which is fantastic. And the Holman George family, Tony, the idiot son, years ago in 96, at the worst time possible when NASCAR was ascending and Days of Thunder and the growth of Earnhardt and Jeff Gordon, that's when he split the series and you had Indy Racing League and CART, and they just came back together a few years ago. Just the typical twit. It's good to have a guy like Penske. So, you know, the stewardship will be there, and he says that they will have, again, there'll be no conflict of interest. There will be no way that he's going to play favorites for his race cars. And most people believe him because Roger Penske's word is gold, as is his touch.
He's the captain, right. And I love it. I think it's a great move because if anybody's going to kind of, you know, make that race better and that league better, it's Roger Penske. Mm-hmm. And he's also right now he's competing. He's got I believe he's got two drivers still alive for the NASCAR title. Looks like right now if it ended tomorrow, I think Logano would go through to the final four in Homestead. They got one race left. Ryan Blaney's his other driver. Kozlowski was in it. He got eliminated. So you look at his success in NASCAR, especially recently, and the defending national.
Right.
The defending NASCAR champion is a Penske driver. So he's looking maybe to go back-to-back in titles one if he gets Blaney or Logano in victory lane this weekend. Then they would go to the final four.
Some good stuff next weekend, man. Brazilian Grand Prix. Watch for Red Bull. Remember, Max had that race won when he collided with, I think it was Perez last year coming out of the pits. So watch Max maybe win in Brazil. Two great things coming up next weekend. Ford versus Ferrari, one of my favorite races at Interlagos in Brazil. So this is kind of like the speed round of Formula 101. Squidbilly's got to go get ready to head to New Orleans with the Falcons. But we'll be talking about Brazil coming up in a week.
Yeah, and we'll hopefully both have seen Ford versus Ferrari, and if I can get to the movies, then we'll review it.
All right, guys, that's our Formula 101 podcast. Tell your buddies to check it out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.